Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, O put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 26, the verses 19 through 32. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 26, beginning with the 19th verse. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, a witnessing both to small and great, as saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God, that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, accept these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is thy good hand that has brought us and our children by renewal on this Lord's day up to thy courts. And may we be given to see it. And may we be given to notice it. And may our hearts be humbled thereunder with that desire that thou truly may be praised. Then surely, then under all the trials of life, then thou hast left many good and precious things amongst us. Then thou yet maketh a difference, where there is no difference, with so many upon the face of the earth, where thou art visiting the earth, different places, forest fires, and in other places on the earth, there is great flooding. Then many on this Sabbath day, they had to gather with much fear and with much trembling on account of persecution. There are still those places where there are many restrictions, and we and our children may so freely come up to thy courts, Lord. There are many hungry ones, great multitudes that are sick in hospitals and in institutions of mercy. There are many in prison, and then the great multitudes upon the face of the earth that have not thy holy word or the truth thereof. And they also have a soul for that never-ending eternity, Lord. And may we be given to pause and to consider all thy blessings, and with a deep impression of our sinnership, what we deserve, that we have forfeited everything, and that we are such unthankful creatures, Lord. May there yet be a few souls that are laboring with thy goodness and also with their sins, abroad in secret places, but also coming up to thy house with their eyes upon thee, and that they may receive a spiritual blessing, that they may be enabled to glean a little, to receive a token of thy favor. Lord, thou hast a people that sins it away 1,000 times, that exclude themselves. And now it is thy work and thy mercy, and that is only possible through thy dear Son, that such may be included, O wonder-doing God. And may it please thee to stretch forth thy almighty hand. And may it please thee to bless thy word. Then surely that thou hast kept us and our children under the truth. That is for a special purpose, that there is yet a people to be gathered. But, Lord, it seems that thou holdest thy hand so still, that we and our children, under all thy goodness and under thy special callings, that we can still continue. And to that end, by renewal, Lord, we have already asked so many times, that thou may bless us with thy special favor. May it be in this evening hour that it may be thy set time for this one, for that one. May we be given to ask for more, Lord. We must ask for all. Thou art so free, and thou art that so sovereign, thou art that potter. But thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. To that end, may it please thee to place a people in their guilt, in their missing. Then they shall be added to those true seekers, and those true seekers, they shall become finders. Lord, may such seekers have come up to thy house with a prayer that thou may remember them with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Wilt thou remember thy children so dependent upon thee? It is written in thy word, a man can receive nothing from above unless it is given by thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou grant unto thy children that they may see more clearly, that their faith may be strengthened, that they may be given to hope more ardently and love more fervently and to walk more cheerfully. And, Lord, wilt thou grant unto thy children to be more humble, to be more holy, and to be more thankful. Teach them that they need thy dear Son in his threefold office, though as a people upon the earth, where he becomes more necessary, where he becomes more precious. Oh, he is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. Lord, wilt thou so remember consistory and congregation? Bless the means of grace in the church. Bless the means of grace in the family circles. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to that end? Lord, then by renewal, then we commend unto thee all the special needs. May it please thee to continue to provide for our daily bread. Remember the thirsty earth. May it please thee to grant us refreshing showers and to keep us from great storms of destruction. Teach us more and more how dependent we are upon thee for everything. Then by renewal we remember all the mourning ones, all the elderly ones, all under the physician's care. Remember the handicapped ones. Remember the burdens, the secret crosses, the struggles. It is all known unto thee. Wilt thou bless our family circles, that love may abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children, and that around thy holy word. And when it is different, wilt thou yet grant a turning, a repentance, a bowing, and a prayer unto thee, the living God, Lord. What has been separated, bring it together, according to thy own institution. Wilt thou remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters? We remember the nations of the earth under thy great and heavy judgments. Wilt thou also remember our nation that has departed so far from thy word and from our founding principles? Remember all those in high authority. May there come truly a bowing of the knees, an opening of thy holy word, asking for thy will with an acknowledgement that thou art the sovereign ruler over the heavens and the earth. But, Lord, impress upon all our hearts that we and our children are part of this nation, a national sins that is, brings national guilt. And if there is no repentance, national judgments, how wilt thou grant unto thy church, unto us and our children truly, Lord, to repent of our worldly and evil ways, and that there may be a searching of the scriptures, an asking for thy way, and a need to be pardoned of all our many and filthy sins. By renewal in this day, we graciously ask thee for thy help, and may it please thee to send help out of the sanctuary, and strengthen out of Zion. Wilt thou remember all the listeners in thy house, those that could not come up to thy house, that may listen along. Oh, may they be given to hear, as they have never heard before. May they be given to hear the voice of the living God. Lord, help our little boys and our girls. Ah, thou only needeth a word, but what our children need, that we all need, wilt thou bind the Satan. Lord, then by renewal we must confess that it is forfeited, that it sinned away. Ah, that we have nothing to plead upon our sins. They are great and manifold. But may we be given to beg for thy great mercy. Ah, Lord, remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. And may then in this evening hour, may jewels be added to the meritorial crown of King Jesus. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 125, the stanzas 1 through 5. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King, forsake the world and every former friend. And what follows, 125, the first 5 stanzas. Beloved congregation, we have heard out of God's holy word that the Apostle Paul was given to speak before the great ones of the earth. Paul has been arrested in Jerusalem in the temple. He was transported to Caesarea. Then he was examined before Felix. And in Acts 24, then Paul was given to preach to Felix and his unlawful wife Drusilla. And then we read that Felix has trembled, but he has said those awful words, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, then I will call for you. But congregation, we do not read in God's holy word that convenient season has come. And then Felix has kept Paul imprisoned in house arrest for 2 years. And then on account of accusations, he was sent to Rome. And Festus has come in his place. Then the Jewish leaders have come when Festus has first come to Jerusalem to persuade the new governor that Paul would be brought to Jerusalem that they may kill him. But then Festus had declared that he soon would go to Caesarea, and there Paul was examined in front of the Jewish leaders. And then the Jewish leaders, they had a desire that Paul would be taken to Jerusalem. Oh, Festus had an impression that Paul was innocent, but he did not listen to his conscience. And then finally, Paul has appealed to Caesar. But now Festus has come in a difficulty, because when one would be sent to Caesar, then a letter had to be written concerning the accusations and the wrongdoing of the one that would be sent to Rome. And Festus did not know what to write. And now in this chapter, King Agrippa, the grandson of Herod the Great, who was murdered the children in Bethlehem. His father was the Herod Agrippa of Acts 12, who was called James, caused James to be beheaded, and who was eaten by the worms. Then concerning this King Agrippa, then his sisters were Drusilla, who we have mentioned, and also Bernice. And then when Festus has related to King Agrippa, he was king of a neighboring province. Then King Agrippa had a desire to hear Paul. And then Festus said, tomorrow you shall hear him. And then we have heard in this morning, it was read, that Paul was given to testify of the wonderful works of free and sovereign grace, that he was arrested on that way to Damascus, and that he became a preacher of the gospel. And then we have heard it. Oh, Festus, when he has heard these things, he did not understand. He thought that Paul was mad. But with King Agrippa, oh, perhaps that Paul has seen under his preaching that it still made an impression. That is still a blessing in our life. When in church we do not sit cold and unfeeling, that it still makes an impression. Ah, maybe Paul thought, perhaps the Lord is working by his Holy Spirit in the heart of King Agrippa, because Paul has experienced, if it is possible for him, such a great persecutor of the church, then it is possible for the whole world. Then it is also possible for King Agrippa, because he has testified in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And then Paul has said to King Agrippa, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest, King Agrippa, because of his ancestors he has become acquainted. It is written in the third verse of this chapter, he was acquainted with the Jewish religion, all in historical knowledge. And then it was the desire for Paul, that he could confess more. And then Agrippa indeed has spoken. But what is he said, congregation? Then we read those solemn words in verse 28. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What a solemn word, congregation. Almost. But that is too short. Oh, maybe there are those, when you reflect on your life, that there have been those times with those pricks, that it was almost a deep impression that you could not continue on your way, an impression that eternity is approaching, an impression of your sins, that you need to be converted as the Lord has converted all his people. And maybe you have even made promises that it would become different in your life, but that it was almost and that it has faded away. Oh, for King Agrippa, there can be so many reasons for that almost. Because King Agrippa, he was in the court. There were more present. Maybe shame. Maybe an almost because of his friends. Oh, it can be an almost that the love of our sins, our lust, that they are too strong. Oh, and almost that the impression soon wear off. Can be that the cost, that the sacrifice is too great. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. It can be that we are too busy. As I read in Luke 14, when that people were invited to that supper of the king, the marriage supper of the king, that the one has said he has bought a piece of land, another one 5 oxen of oxen, and another one has married a wife, almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian, but young and old it is too short. We need to be converted. Then it is necessary to make a separation between almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian and the almost Christian. Oh, it can come so close. Matthew Mead, he has written a book. It is called The Almost Christian. And then he lists 20 particulars. It can come so close. The people of God, they are exercised with those things. And then Paul has exclaimed, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, accept these bonds. Oh, Paul, he was wrought upon by free and sovereign grace, almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And now in this evening hour, we are called out of our Heidelberg Catechism to speak of a Christian. Lord's Day number 12, question and answer number 32. But why art thou called a Christian? Answer, because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. Lord's Day number 12, question and answer number 32, speak of the threefold office of the Christian. Four thoughts. First, by being partakers of Christ's anointing. Secondly, as confessing prophets. Thirdly, as sacrificing priests. And fourthly, as enrolled kings. The threefold office of the Christian, by being partakers of Christ's anointing, as confessing prophets, as sacrificing priests, and as enrolled kings. Thus first, by being partakers of Christ's anointing. Then in these Lord's days, the Lord's days numbered 11, 12, and 13, then the instructors, they are speaking of different names of the mediator. The last Lord's Day, the personal name, Jesus, Savior, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Then in this Lord's Day, Christ, his official name, means anointed to that threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. And the next Lord's Day, his only begotten Son, our Lord. And now in the explanation of those names, then the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, in our question and answer in this evening, then they are given to speak of the Christian. Why is that? Oh, in the first place, because Christ and his bride can never be separated. In daily life, when we think of a bridegroom, then we automatically think of the bride. And so it is in the life of the church, but also our instructors for practical instruction unto us and our children. Oh, then the instructors in our question and answer, then they have given this question in the first place that the child of God may be instructed. In the second place for examination. In the third place for uncovering. And in the fourth place, oh, question and answer number 32, when it may be used by the work of the Holy Spirit, that shall bring a child to question and answer number 31. Oh, how necessary, more necessary, and more precious that he becomes as their prophet, priest, and king. Concerning that name Christian, the Bible gives many names to the children of God. They are called believers, saints, beloved, brethren, children of God, sons and daughters, all names for instruction and for examination. But now in this Lord's Day, it speaks of the name Christian, and the name Christian or Christians, that is mentioned three times in the Bible. of first in Acts 11, verse 26. There we read that they were first called Christians in Antioch. And then we have read together from King Agrippa, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And we also read the name in 1 Peter 4, verse 16. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian," what are we now to understand by the name Christian? Then we can also understand it in the broader sense. Perhaps we could say Christian with a small c, and when it concerns the true church, the bride of Christ, with a capital C. Then upon this world, then we understand by the name of Christian. Perhaps we could say those that confess the 12 articles of faith. Does not mean that they all have the truth. Then concerning the main streams, then we can speak of Protestants, Roman Catholics, and the Eastern Orthodox. By the Christians with small c's, that is only with an outward confession. I have read of a Muslim who was converted by the Lord, and he became a preacher, and the persecution became so great that he had to flee his country, and that he came to the United States of America. And then he has stated that he has come to a great discovery. Then he has said, "There are many American Christians, but how few biblical Christians." And now in this evening hour, then we must examine the explanation and the riches of that name, a Christian, with a capital C. Oh, the true disciples and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But why art thou called a Christian? Thus then already we have the examination. What kind of a Christian are we? Have we now become a true Christian? Have we now become a disciple? I say a disciple. I do not even say a bride, of course. From the Lord's side. Oh, then he has chosen his bride, that they may receive those blessings, and that they may be led into ways everlasting. But have we now become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have a hope that the Lord knows of us? And now the instructors. Oh, we have heard it so often. Then each time by renewal, then there is their desire to extol free and sovereign grace, excluding everything of man, excluding their works, the one-sided work of the Lord, Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast." And to that end, the instructors have begun, "Because I am a member of Christ by faith." That is the wonder of grace. A member of Christ. Oh, then we have many examples in the scripture. John 15, where it speaks of the vine. Oh, also two different kinds. Those that have been engrafted, but those that are lying by that vine. Ah, the true church that is engrafted in the moment of regeneration, and as a living branch, it bears fruit. "Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing." Psalm 133, we read of the anointing of Aaron the high priest as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that oil, that anointing oil, that it is dripped down his clothes. And now Christ is the head, and the church that is the body. And now they are partakers of that anointing. And the instructors have stressed, because I am a member of Christ by faith, that faith that brings that union. And then in natural life, when you have a body, then there can be much amiss with that body, that it does not receive orders from the head. Think of sickness. Think when they are paralyzed. When the church, when they hold on to sins, when there are injury, thus the instructors, they stress the union between the head and the body. Boys and girls, we can give a simple example. If someone has an accident and his arm is cut off, then that arm can lie there. Hopefully in the hospital they can connect it. But then that arm can lie there, and then the head can give orders to that arm. But then that arm shall not move. Then there must be connection, there must be union. And therefore the instructors, they stress, because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing. Our second thought, as a confessing prophet, then by the wonderful work of regeneration, then the Lord restores in beginning what the sinner has lost in paradise. And Lord's Day number 3, when the instructors were given to speak of God's perfect creation, of the image of God, then they also speak of those offices. Then the Lord has created Adam and Eve in that threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. But through willful disobedience, the transgression of that covenant, then we have lost that image. But now the wonderful works of grace, then that image in beginning is restored. Do we not read in Romans 8 verse 29 that the church becomes conformable to the image of Christ? And then we read the fruit of that anointing, that sow. All the instructors point to that foundation. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to become a member of Christ by faith, and thus a partaker of his anointing. Christ, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, that so I may. That at times becomes a wonder for the church. It is not a must, but it is a may. And now the church, that word may, when the Lord works, then there can be those hidden ones with so many questions and with so many riddles, all with the fear that they are an almost Christian. They cannot deny that it has become different. They cannot deny that their heart goes out to the living God. But when they consider their heart, they hoped to go from strength to strength. And now with that deeper uncovering, and there can be those riddles, those perplexities, the assaults of Satan, the true child. What a trouble they can have with Satan. Many times he comes with truth. He points at them. Do you not really think that you are a child of God? and then they can go so silent over the world, and that they are given to say, Lord, must they now always remain silent? Shall I not always have silent lips? May thou grant that I may be given to speak well of thee and of thy blessed service, so the instructors, that so I may confess his name, that is the prophetical office. And now when the instructor said, confess his name, then to confess that name, then we must know that name. Then we must love that name, have a desire to honor that name, experience the riches in that name, to confess his name and the name of the mediator. That includes the name of the Lord. That includes everything connected with that name, so that I may confess his name. What is then necessary for those prophets? That they are instructed by the great prophet. Oh, what a sweet matter it is to sit with Mary in Luke 10 at the feet of the mediator, to hang on his lips and to be instructed in the wonderful things of salvation, that so I may confess his name, also dependent. Do we not read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit, that so I may confess his name. And how do those prophets now do that? Oh, in the first place, by speaking. By speaking of the things of the Lord, but also by lovingly admonishing their fellow man. Do we not read in Ezekiel 3, verse 17, of those watchmen upon the walls of Zion? Then in the second place, by their walk. How often, oh, in the time of the Reformation, that the Lord has used the simple and godly walk of Christians, that the Roman Catholics were given to consider family life, husbands and wives, parents and children, that they were given to behold the power of the gospel, what an effect it had upon family life and in the midst of the church, that they were aroused to holy jealousy. Then in the third place, to declare the secrets of the Lord. Think of Abram in Genesis 18, the verses 17 and 18, concerning the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do we not read in Psalm 25, verse 14, that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he shall show them his covenant? Thus they become confessing prophets. Oh, many examples in the Bible. What do you think, boys and girls? Do we now have to be old to be a little prophet? Oh, when the Lord works. Think of that little maid that was taken into Syria, and her master, Naaman, he has become leprous. Then she was given to speak those simple words. And by her life in obedience, then the master's wife was given to listen. That Naaman would be in Israel, the prophet of the Lord, then he would be healed. Oh, Obadiah, who would think that there was a little prophet in the court of King Ahab. But then when he has met the prophet Elijah, then he was given to speak of that tender fear of the Lord. Oh, that he was willing to sacrifice his life because he received the love for God and for his prophets. Oh, think of John 9, of that man born blind, and Christ has healed him. And then that healed man, he began to speak to the leaders of the synagogue. And then they have finally said that thou teach us, and they have cast them out. That so we may confess his name. Why art thou called a Christian? Very personal, thou. How is it in our life concerning that name? It's when the Lord works, can be seen. Not to give the wrong impression does not mean congregation, that if we are unconverted, that we do not have to live according to the law of God. No. The law of God is read every Sunday morning for the whole congregation, but to be partakers of his anointing. And then it cannot remain hidden. Do we not read in Matthew 7, the verses 16 through 20, that by their fruits ye shall know them? Our third thought, a sacrificing priest. Let us first sing. 415, the stanzas 6 and 7. Who is he that fears Jehovah, walking with him day by day? God will lead him safely onward, guide him in the chosen way. And what follows? 415, 6 and 7. the threefold office of the Christian, by being partakers of Christ's anointing, as confessing prophets, and now thirdly, as sacrificing priests. And then perhaps there are those amongst us, when we speak of the threefold office of the Christian, that of prophet, that they can understand, because our instructors in question and answer 31, they have spoken of Christ as the chief prophet. Thus, that means there are other prophets under that chief prophet, and it is true. All concerning our second point, then each time by renewal, then the church comes in the guilt, silent when they should speak, and many times speak the wrong words. Oh, then how necessary and precious that chief prophet becomes the Lord Jesus Christ, who was always aimed at the honor of his Father. But now concerning the priestly office of Christ, you can remember, congregation, that the instructors, and rightly so, according to the scriptures, that they have stressed concerning the priest to be our only high priest. Thus that word only, boys and girls, that signifies that there is only one. And how can we now speak in this evening hour also of the priesthood of the true Christian? Then we must understand it rightly. Concerning the priesthood of Christ and his atonement, then there is spoken of that only high priest, a lesson that the Holy Spirit teaches his people, because they read in Hebrews 10 verse 14 that by one sacrifice he is perfected forever those that are sanctified. Thus, when we speak of the priestly office of the Christian, then it is not to be a priest of atonement. Ah, the Roman Catholic Church, they still speak of priests, but that can never be, because Christ has brought that perfect sacrifice for his people. But now in this question and answer, when it speaks of the priesthood of the true Christian, then it is not to atone, but then it is in the way of thankfulness. And that word to sacrifice, if we look at it in the dictionary, that means to surrender, relinquish, give up, to offer ourselves. And to that end, in Romans 12, verse 1, there Paul has written to the Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, oh, a beseeching that is so necessary, because that flesh and the world and the Satan, but I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, then Paul was given to speak of the great mercies of the Lord, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Matthew 16, verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And now, that sacrificing, that surrender, it is true that the child of God continually needs to be reminded, because it can be so earthly, it can be so carnal. Oh, let me say at the beginning, then those reminders, they are not so necessary. When we think we have heard it of Paul, on that way to Damascus, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Unconditional and no stipulations. We read in Psalm 110 verse 3 that the Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. And now when we consider those sacrifices and those offerings, then there is much instruction in those Old Testament sacrifices. Then in the first place, it had to be an animal that was alive, not a dead sacrifice, not something that we cannot use that is of no purpose, but something that is value. In the second place, it had to be a sacrifice perfect, no blemish. Thus not to give to the Lord what we do not need so bad, not so important that we can do without, but a sacrifice without blemish. In the third place, it had to be an animal that was owned. Then they could not go and shoot one and bring it. Had to be an animal that was owned. And in the fourth place, that it was a willing sacrifice. And therefore the instructors, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, that is a sacrifice of love. When we love someone, then we love to do beautiful things, give beautiful gifts to such a one. And so it is with the true church when they are on the right place by the work of the Holy Spirit, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him. Then they are called to sacrifice, give their heart. Proverbs 23, verse 26, my son, includes daughters, give me thy heart. Then we are called to give our talents for his kingdom, for his honor. Then we are called upon to give our time concerning the things of the Lord, not only the time we have left, but that we give our prime time in the family circles, in the busyness of life, that we take time to search the scriptures, to bow our knees, then our goods. Think in Acts 9 at the end of Dorcas, that there were many widows weeping with the coats that Dorcas has made unto them. Then we are willing to sacrifice concerning our family. Think of Ruth, that she has left her family in the land of Moab, even our life. We have mentioned Stephen in this morning when we considered the scriptures. There were those that have given their life. History tells us that all the apostles except John, that they have suffered the martyr's death for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read the history of the church, read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, what a suffering, what a willingness. Oh, in the Psalmbinder, it is written in Dutch, of course, but a reverent love, that he would die the martyr's death. And then he has written to his dear wife, what a profound word, that he was given to go to die the death of the martyr. As much as joy he was given to write to his dear wife, who he loved dearly, but that he may speak, that he could go to the stake with the same joy as he has come to his marriage day with his dear wife. Those are the wonderful things of the Lord. Oh, a priest in the Old Testament. We have mentioned it last week concerning the priestly office of Christ to intercede. Think of Abram in Genesis 18 when he was given to plead for Sodom and Gomorrah if there were so many righteous that Sodom would be spared and to bless. We read in Genesis 12 verse 2 that the Lord has said to Abram, and thou shalt be a blessing. We read of the house of Potiphar that it was blessed because of the presence of Joseph. In Matthew 15, the verses 13 through 16, the light and the salt of the world, our forethought as enrolled kings, and also that with a free and good conscience, profound words for the true child of God can be so much in the life of a child that draws from the Lord. Things of the world can be temptations, sins, but the instructors have stressed, for examination. Do you hear a congregation that the instructors, they have written this answer in such a way for the true child of God, for instruction, but also for uncovering concerning the three offices. Oh, then each time by renewal, then it must bring those true prophets and those priests and those kings on their knees in their inner chamber. That there are times that they say, Lord, is it now really true? When I read this answer, am I truly a member of thee by faith? Am I partaker of that anointing? Because concerning that prophetical office, then I must be so ashamed. There are different times that if they would not speak, that the stones would cry out. The Lord sometimes uses special circumstances that those prophets may be given to speak by renewal. Think of a Ruth between the borders of Judah and Moab. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Concerning that priestly sacrificing, then many times the Lord, because he loves his people, then he chastises them severely, that they may be given to turn unto themselves, that they are not truly that sacrificing priest. But now concerning that kingly office, what a blessing it is when those kings with a free and a good conscience, I may fight against sin and Satan in this life. And therefore we have called our third point, enrolled kings. Christ, he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. But now by grace, then they are placed under the banner of King Jesus. Then they are enrolled. In earlier days, many times it was said, when there were indications that a people have become a prophet, a priest, and a king, and when they may speak a little of what the Lord has done, and when there may be a falling in the heart, then that people has said, welcome in the strife. That is that kingly office. And not in their own strength, but under the banner of the king. Those kings, they learn no strength in themselves. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 20, when Jehoshaphat, when those three kings, they have come up against the children of Israel, then a Jehoshaphat was given to say, we have no strength against these enemies, but our eyes are upon thee. And that is a lesson that those kings must learn each time by renewal. What a striving there can be in their own strength. And when things are not so difficult, that they are not a watching and a praying, and that they are ensnared in the things of the world and many temptations, but now under his banner. And I read in Ephesians 6, the verses 12 through 18, that Christ has made that armor for these soldiers, that they may fight the battles of the Lord. And that with a free and good conscience, I may fight against sin and Satan in this life. How are that people now kings? They are kings by their prayers. Do we not read in James 5, verse 16, that the prayer of the righteous availeth much? Ah, they are kings by their example. Think of King Hezekiah. Ah, that people, by that anointing, they receive a royal heart, royal benefits, a royal state, glory, and dominion to fight that battle in this life. People of God, shall not always be. Are you sometime tired of that strife that you say, Lord, shall it now never come to an end? And I am such a poor soldier. Oh, each time, so often, then I succumb. Then it seems that he have no strength, full of unbelief, not a looking unto the King of Kings. And therefore the instructors have added, and afterwards reign with him eternally. Over all creatures there shall be a new heaven and a new earth. That is the portion that is laid away for the people of God. Why art thou called a Christian? Have we now become a Christian? We have mentioned some marks in this morning, what the true Christian shall experience. When the Lord converts us, shall we then start to speak that we are now a prophet and we are a priest and a king? No. Then we are given to see what sinners we are. Then we shall also be uncovered concerning being a prophet, a priest, and a king. Then we shall exclaim, woe unto me that I have sinned. The crown has fallen from our head. Why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith and partaker of his anointing. We need to be wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. Oh, with our historical knowledge, with our understanding, there can be much a contemplation of the truth, can be emotions and feelings, but young and old, matters need to be experienced. We need to be wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. We need to be uncovered. Room needs to be made for that precious name of Jesus Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that makes room. Oh, when the Lord may convert a person, then they come under that prophetical ministry. And what a sweet matter it is to be instructed by that great prophet, that at the Lord's time, that we may be given to confess his glorious name. Ah, for those prophets, then it becomes his desire that he may receive all the honor and the glory. Then it is the desire that all people would become prophets, that they may be given. Ah, then it shall be with a Paul. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am. Accept these bonds, all under that prophetical ministry. Then they are led to that priestly office. Young and old, why art thou called a Christian? Such a personal examination May we be given to examine all our hearts. We need to be converted. We are traveling to eternity. And it is written in John 3, verse 3, except a man is born again, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, for us and our children, also concerning this Lord's day, then it is written in Luke 12, verse 48, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. And Paul has written to the Corinthians concerning these matters in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may thank thee that thou wast given unto us and our children another Lord's day, that we could freely come up to thy house and yet a few words to speak. Then by renewal, then we are called to examine ourselves. That was the same in this morning hour. Why art thou called a Christian, Lord? There are still so many that are unconverted. Oh, maybe perhaps many, that there were times the matter was bound upon the heart, and that they can say with an Agrippa almost, but now as unconverted as ever, Lord, work then lovingly and irresistibly with thy Spirit. Wilt thou spare us and our children, that we deceive not ourselves, and then also for the children of God, Lord, stay for instruction, for uncovering, but also for a shaming. Oh, how necessary to be brought at thy feet. Also concerning this Lord's day, the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, we may commence in other week. Then we may humbly ask thee that thou graciously spread thy wings over us and our children, over each and every one of us. When thou withdrawest thy hand, then we are no more. Wilt thou remember the mothers, the family circles, the daytime, the night watches. Wilt thou watch over the unborn with the mothers. Remember on the way. Remember at work. Wilt thou keep us from harm and from danger. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation. Lord, wilt thou also provide on the coming Lord's day. Wilt thou help and remember the consistory. Grant the brother elders a sermon to read. Wilt thou help and remember those that may lead the congregational singing, our custodians, and all those that have an active part in this service. But may there be many errands in hers. Lord, dismiss us now in thy favor. Take us under thy kind care and thy protection. Grant traveling mercies. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 306, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, his name adore, from this time forth forevermore, and what follows. 306, 1, 3, and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.